Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust,
Rose,
and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
Greetings, humans. You have entered the Command Zone, your destination for all aspects of Elder Dragon Highlander. Enjoy your stay.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Command Zone Podcast. I'm your host, Jimmy Wong.
How's it? It's Josh Lee Kwai. So, Commander Legends, it's drumming up some controversy here.
What there doesn't
are,
these days?
Yeah, there are two cards, Opposition Agent and Jeweled Lotus, that have certainly been the talk of the community. So, this is going to be a special mini-sode where we're going to discuss whether we think these cards are healthy for the format and kind of what the hullabaloo is about.
Yep, and if you want to buy a shenanigans or a card that destroys artifacts or creatures, go on over to cardkingdom.com/commandzone. That's your number one place to pick up single seal products, magic stuff, and more. Commander Legends is a ton of stuff out there that isn't as controversial, and you're going to want to pick that stuff up.
These cards are powerful. You might want them for your deck.
You might
want
them
telling
as well.
You not to play them.
Yeah, we're definitely not. Do whatever you want, but the place you're going to do it when you want to do it is at cardkingdom.com/commandzone. They'll get your single seal product to you out very quickly, and we've trusted them for many years, and we love their customer service and a great buyback program, especially if you're looking to sort of get some old cards out of the way to make room for the new ones.
Yep, and also at least one of these cards is very expensive to pre-order right now. By the way, I wouldn't buy it yet. I would wait. I think that's probably going to drop, but Jeweled Lotus is not cheap. If you get your hands on one, you're going to want to protect it. Ultra Pro products are the best way to protect all of your game pieces. And the final way to support all of our content is directly if you go to patreon.com/commandzone. In fact, we shout out one lucky patron every single episode. And this episode is dedicated to
Dennis Sabatoon.
Dennis, you rock.
And because we're doing so many episodes for Commander Legends this year, we're shouting out like five additional people this month. So sign up.
All right. Let's get into the main topic, which is a design discussion, kind of. These two cards have really caused a lot of controversy, as we said. I want to start off with a disclaimer
this
here.
This is a good disclaimer.
Yeah. So we're obviously friends with a lot of the folks at Magic, which has been thrown in our face sometimes when we say opinions about stuff that you don't like. But like we've said before, we always say our real opinions on the show. But I just want to say from the outset that all those people, Gavin had a huge part in this set specifically, and Gavin is a friend of Jimmy and mine, and somebody
I've known Gavin from the last CCG I played like 15 years ago.
Yeah,
so I've known this guy for a while.
Yeah, so like I think all the people designing Magic cards and working on Magic are good people. You know, they want Magic to thrive. I think they design cards they think are going to be cool. I don't like when people throw out, you know, really negative things saying like, oh, they only designed that card to try and make money, or like ascribe like ulterior motives that aren't there. Like, I know Gavin. Like, Gavin loves Magic more than anybody you'll ever meet.
Uh-huh.
He wants Magic to thrive. He designs cards and makes cards and puts cards into sets because he thinks they're cool. Now, do I always agree with Gavin about what's cool? No, but I think there's no question that his heart is in the right place. So I just want to say that from the outset because
There have been a lot of personal character attacks in the Magic community over the last month over a number of things. And not only are they unnecessary, but if you were someone that worked at a job and someone came at you with a personal attack like that, would you like it either? Nah, so don't put the shoe on the other foot. Okay.
Yeah, and it's like our content, right? When people have criticisms about it, it's not always that they're wrong, but sometimes they just attack us like, you only did that because of XYZ. Well, it's like, no. I mean, listen, I understand that you didn't like it and you disagree with it. And maybe we made a mistake, but it's not because we were nefarious in some way. And so I just want to make sure that we're not misconstruing. We're going to have some criticism this episode. It's not at the people.
Yeah, and we also would like to ask you not to send the hate at the people because we've been at the receiving end of it, and they're probably at the receiving end of it constantly.
Yeah, so. It's misguided, okay? Complain about the card, not about the people. All right, let's start off with the less offensive of the two, at least I think to us.
Yeah, I think so.
But still, a controversial card. It's called
Opposition Agent. So this is two in the black for a creature human rogue. That's a 3/2 with flash. And it says, you control your opponents while they're searching their libraries. While an opponent is searching their library, they exile each card they find. You may play those cards for as long as they remain exiled, and you may spend mana as though it were mana of any color to cast them. So Josh does anything to Searcher's library, I flash an Opposition Agent, I control that search, I choose which card, and I exile it, and then I am now able to play those cards and using mana as though it were mana of any color.
So you steal somebody's tutor, you steal somebody's search effect. This is obviously a lot of people got a lot of people talking.
Yeah, because, you know, for good reason, it's not just stealing tutors, right? If this card was just like, if a person plays a card that's tutoring for a specific card, and I don't know how you would phrase it even, because this actually messes with fetch lands. This changes, right? Even if you play Opposition Agent to stop Josh's Grim Tutor, next turn Maria plays a fetch land and wants to crack it, well, guess what? You actually control that too. And unfortunately,
it's a persistent effect. It's not just when Opposition Agent hits the table.
So even if you want to be like, oh, you know what? I still want you to search whatever. It's like, no, Opposition Agent says you have to control your opponent, and then you're going to exile the card that you find So they don't even get their fetch land effects. They don't get the rampant growths, etc.
Wayfarer's Bauble, anything that searches the deck for any reason. And I think that's the one of the big complaints or reasons people are a little bit wary of this card is because it messes with lands, man, and we don't like messing with lands in our format.
Yeah, not to mention it messes with people that aren't, that don't need to be messed with necessarily, right? If it's like, yeah, get rid of the person that's aggressively tutoring and stop them from getting their win con out, sure. But the fact that it's persistent, does not have May in front of it, means that you can't even play in Evolving Wilds anymore.
I think some people are upset just based on power level of card two, regardless of that part. Just this effect is quite powerful.
Yeah.
Praetor's Grasp is a card that does see play in like CEDH, and I think this is often better than that. Not always, but it can be. So I think that's another complaint.
This card is also really good with specific sort of interactions. Like Marilyn of the Moon's Mournsong allows everyone to tutor through their library.
But I mean, forces everybody to tutor.
Forces everyone to, but now you get every single person's tutor, which is pretty powerful.
Yeah, Marilyn basically makes it so everybody tutors every turn, and then that makes it so you tutor for them every turn and steal the cards. Another interaction people don't like, or maybe it's not right to say don't like, but another one they think might be too powerful with this card is Scheming Symmetry.
Yeah, so it's black for a sorcery and choose two target players. Each of them searches their library for a card and shuffles their library and puts that card on top of it. So typically it's like I choose me and I choose someone else and maybe they get something that I want them to get. But now you can choose two separate players, control both of their tutors and take both of their cards from them for one black mana plus the Opposition Agent.
And you get to cast the cards as though it were mana of any color. So it might even be worth it to not choose yourself.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Choose two players you know that got some bangers in their deck and just get those out there instead.
So obviously a very powerful card and an interesting card. Let's talk about what we think about it, Jimmy.
The first thing I thought when I saw this card is, why does it need to only be three mana? Because when you get to that three mana range, it does something that I think is highly uncomfortable for a lot of Commander players, because it opens it into the Legacy Vintage competitive world. Three is like the top of the curve usually for a lot of those decks. And we saw this with True Name Nemesis, that once you get a card that is that powerful at such a low CMC, then other formats are going to want it, and it's going to drive the price up and make it more inaccessible for the players that it was potentially designed for.
You think if it was four mana, it would be
I think this card needs
better.
To be like five, and it to be like three black. And that's another thing is, we talked about this black.
Yeah, why is this card not in white is the first thing I thought. Because it is a cool effect, and in my estimation, I like punishing tutors in the format.
Yeah.
I like the idea that if you go to tutor, you got to think about it, and maybe there's a pretty big downside for you. And maybe as a result, people will play less tutors, because I think that's actually net good for the format, to kind of discourage tutors a little bit.
Yeah.
But black doesn't need this effect. And we already have Aven Mind Sensor as a precedent for the fact that white will mess around with you searching your libraries.
Yes.
And white is the color that needs powerful effects more than other colors. Black is already fine. You know, maybe the second best, definitely in the top three, you know, of colors in Commander. It doesn't need a powerful effect like this. And black already is the tutor color.
Yes.
So I would like white to have been given the opportunity to be the we mess with tutors color. And I also think they could have color restricted a little bit, to your point, Jimmy. What if it was one white, white, white?
Oh, very nice. So you have to pretty much play it in a white or a
heavy white deck. Yeah, exactly. And you also have to hold open mana that's a lot more obvious.
Right.
So that people go, what's your mana? Okay, you got three white. So I'm like more likely to at least telegraph that play, which makes it a little bit more likely to avoid, because the feel bads on this card are going to be real bad.
Yeah, and here's the thing. Aven Mind Sensor, people don't hate it because it still gives them the ability to tutor, you know, in the top four cards.
They get something.
Sure, yeah, they get something usually. But Opposition Agent just turns it off entirely. So it's extreme card disadvantage. Not only are you destroying a card in their hand that they played, you're also getting a card from their deck, usually one of their better ones, maybe one that they needed in that moment to win the game. You know, you could steal a Cyclonic Rift for this in a mono black deck or whatever. So there's just a lot of different things going on here that...
Which I think is ultimately fine as a play pattern, like if you're stopping them from winning the game in some ways. But yeah, let's just give that to a color and put it, I think you're right, at a CMC that makes a little bit more sense. I don't love that it's in black, that it's at this CMC.
I wish
it
was
only
a May ability.
One black, so it easily goes into just a lot of decks.
I wish it was a May ability. That, to me, is the biggest mistake here, because it doesn't allow you to play this. Let's say you're like a new player that's like, oh man, this person always tutors and wins. I have Opposition Agent now. Now I can stop them. But when you play it, the other two players are like, wait, that really screws with my deck too. So you can't even choose, right?
Like, yeah, all my fetch lands, like, that's tough. Even, like, Evolving Wilds and stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't mind so much, actually, the fact that it messes with Rampant Growths and Cultivates and things of that nature. Because, again, I think that's an unfair advantage that green has, and putting a little bit of check on that is fine. But fetch lands, you know, like we just said, Boros in particular, I think one of the strategies that can keep it afloat is playing a lot of fetch lands, and now all of a sudden they're like, hey, here's a card that really messes with that strategy.
Yeah.
Oh,
even if it's not aimed at you, it'll still mess with it. Yeah. And honestly, black doesn't need the help. White totally could have had this card, I think. And we see cards in the set, like the Verge Rangers types, that are like, oh, cool.
If you want to restrict it even more, it could have been Boros. You know, Boros has cards also that say players can't search libraries.
Right.
So this could have easily gone in a Boros color. And then I think imagine this card, same exact card, but it's two white red.
Yeah.
Now it's very restricted to the decks is going to go in, and Boros gets, you know, a nice tool that really isn't going to proliferate into a bunch of other decks, because you have to have red and white in your deck to run it.
Yep. I agree with that. Yeah. So I'm not a fan of this card, but I probably am going to see it played a lot.
You got to think about this card now. You have to know it exists.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Because you have to be aware, like, who's playing black, who's got three mana available. Could I really, really get hosed here if I go to tutor? You got to think about it. You got to worry about it.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move on to the bigger of the two controversial cards. This is Jeweled.
By a long shot, by the way.
This is Jeweled Lotus. It's zero mana for an artifact. Sacrifice Jeweled Lotus. Sorry. Tap and sacrifice Jeweled Lotus. Add three mana of any one color.
Oh, boy.
Spend this mana only to cast your commander.
Oh, the most important card in many people's decks?
So let's talk about why people are upset or concerned about this. I think one is just raw power level.
This is essentially Black Lotus, but only for your commander.
So there's a lot of cards that can come out on turn one because of this. There are the Sylvalas and the Yisons of the world. Something like Mizzix can come out on turn one.
Urza. Island, Jeweled Lotus, Urza.
I think you need one more for... Is there four?
It's four mana, yeah.
Oh, crap. Grand Arbiter, Augustine, can come out on turn one.
Oh, gosh.
Kyrick can come out on turn one, in which case, now all your black mana for all your other cards is life, and so it's usually Kyrick, three other things.
Oh, my goodness.
Did I say Mizzix? Mizzix is the card you don't want out on turn one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It starts accruing...
I mean, that's a ubiquity, right? That's one of the main things people have about this card, is that you... Right? Arguably, you could put this in every single deck in the same way you can put Sol Ring in almost every single deck. Arguably.
Then there's a bunch of cards that it enables on turn two, which mm-hmm. is like all the three color 5 CMC cards, and there's been a lot in recent years, and they're all like value engine cards. Korvold, Tulane, Yarok,
Golos.
They all come out on turn two because you go like, you know, shock land, basic land, you've got two of your colors.
Yeah.
Then Jewel Lotus gives three of the other color you don't have, and that's 5 mana total. Korvold comes out. And Jewel Lotus is really good with Korvold because even if you draw it late, it's a sacrifice ability on a card, so you can always just cycle it for an extra
right.
card draw, or just use it to cast Korvold, because one of the ways that you beat all these value engine decks is kill their commander as soon as they play it. Tulane yeah. on turn two is like, crap, they got the value engine going so early. Yarok, same thing. Golos, oh my gosh, Golos is crazy because play Golos turn two, get a land with Golos, and it's ramping you, so you don't even really lose the card advantage.
Yeah, there is a lot about the power level of this card that I think is very accurate in terms of people's upsetness about it, which is, yes, this just powers out already the most powerful commanders out there. And not just that, but it does it in a way that's very hard to deal with, because a lot of times, a real 5 early. CMC commander that has value stapled onto it, like Tulane, Yarok, Korvold, or Golos, getting that out before everyone else means you're getting 3 or 4 more turns to get value out of it than everyone else.
And they're in this really bad position too, whereas, everyone, like the answer a lot of people are saying is play more cheap removal, but yeah. if they use their early removal on your thing, they're not developing their board either. And whoever does that is going to be behind now to the other two players who then go, sweet, thank you for removing that. You know,
yeah, you Sol just Ring Signet. Your thing. Yeah.
You know, yeah. Okay, well, hold on.
There's a world where you also Sol Ring Signet, Jeweled Lotus, and then the next turn you can play a huge commander.
Yes, big commanders can come out early with the help of other things.
Yeah.
So the ubiquity thing, which you talked about, is another complaint people have. So one thing is people are worried about the power level of it. Another thing is people are just worried that it's just going to be another Sol Ring, Mana Crypt, goes in every deck type card. And it does feel like it goes in a lot of decks. I'm going to list off here the top 21 commanders in the past week on EDH Rec right now.
Okay.
And then we'll say whether each one would probably play Jeweled Lotus. The first one is the new Omnath. It's 4 color. Probably doesn't play it. Second one is Anawan. That's 4 mana. That's a turn 1 Anawan. Definitely plays it.
Yep.
Golos, we already said, plays it. Atraxa, 4 color. Doesn't play it. Kenrith, this is an interesting one because it's 4 and a white. You could cast Kenrith on turn 2, but I don't think it plays Jeweled Lotus because you can't really activate Kenrith at that point, so playing him early doesn't do much.
Yeah.
Korvold, definitely yes. plays the card. Obu'un, this is an interesting one because really you'd only get 2 mana off Jeweled Lotus, but you'd play Obu'un on turn 2. I think mm-hmm. you do it, though, because you want to get those lands attacking and those landfall triggers as early as possible. So I think it plays it. Sisay, this is the mono white Sisay in right. quotes. Probably doesn't play it because even though it's 3 mana, you can get her out turn 1. You can't activate her for a long time, so probably doesn't play it. Yuriko, turn 1 Yuriko sounds insane. You definitely play it.
Yep.
Lord Windgrace plays
100%.
It. Tulane plays it. New Akiri definitely plays it because you want to get it out there and attacking as soon as possible. Verizol, that's the kicker card where it doubles up kicker things. Mm-hmm. This means Verizol comes in with 3+1/+1 counters, and you're casting your kicker cards on turn 3
yep.
and doubling them up already. Definitely plays it. Kaikar definitely plays it because this is also a non-creature spell. Kalia the Vast, do you want to get Kalia out on turn 2 and start swinging it on turn 3 and dropping angels and demons? I think you do, so it plays it.
Yep.
Muldrotha. This is great in Muldrotha. Play Muldrotha on turn 3 and just immediately play Jeweled Lotus back out on the battlefield as your artifact for that turn. And now if they kill Muldrotha, you're ready to recast it.
You have the recast ability, yeah.
Yep. Edgar Markov. This one's a maybe. A lot of people like their Edgar Markov to sit in their command zone and not cast it earlier.
I think that's definitely a maybe, yeah.
Yeah. Alayla definitely plays it because, again, this is an artifact, makes a fairy, so even if you draw it late, it's not bad. Ur-Dragon, 100%
definitely.
Plays it because
yep.
you just want the mana reduction. Yarok, we already said, plays it. Niv-Mizzet Perun. This will give you either the 3 red, probably, because you'll have
blue. Yeah.
Yep. So that's 16 of the top 21 commanders on EDH Rec would probably play this card. It's maybe 15 and a half because Edgar Markov is a maybe. But
yeah.
that's a 75% or so of the top. Those are the most popular commanders right now, too. So we see them at a higher rate than we see most other commanders. And that's just a sampling. I think if we yeah. went through all of Commander, a large portion are going to be like, yeah, I think you play Jeweled Lotus because it's so good when you draw it in your opening hand that the fact that it's bad later is mitigated by the swing of how good it is. And also, like, it's not
even that bad later.
Right?
It gets rid of commander attacks plus an extra mana every single time.
If you're playing Tulane, what's the most common thing that happens? People kill your Tulane.
Yeah.
Jeweled Lotus helps you solve that problem. And so you're
not caring about the card you're down because you're just drawing so much from the value of that commander. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the ubiquity. The fact that it's probably going to go in a lot of decks is a big complaint people have. And then the final complaint, and this is my personal biggest complaint, is the variance that this card causes. So, like, here, full disclosure, because we did play test this set, and I've said many times on the show already that I got to look at this set 2 years ago. I saw Jeweled Lotus 2 years ago. Part of what we were doing was playtesting cards, building decks, giving feedback to Gavin, Jules, some other people at Wizards about, you know, what we were experiencing for them to think about.
Mm-hmm.
Jeweled Lotus was a card that I begged them not to print, like 2 years ago. I literally wrote a couple of emails that were like, listen, I don't think this card's healthy. I don't think it does anything good for games. The only thing it does is occasionally create games where it feels like nothing mattered, but the player played Jeweled Lotus.
Mm-hmm.
And they got out to a huge start. Nobody happened to draw removal or a way to stop them, and they just snowballed. You know, sometimes, yeah, they play the Jeweled Lotus, they play their thing, they get it removed, and it didn't really... But that's that didn't cause a cool scenario to happen, right? That didn't cause anything cool in the game to happen. That
people just, didn't go, wow, what a fun interactive thing.
Yeah.
Just like, we lost to the Jeweled Lotus.
Or we didn't, but it there was just never a scenario that came up that even comes to mind where this is awesome. Like, what... Yeah. Is good about it. So it has this high variance. Sometimes it's really bad, but when it's good, it's incredibly good, and it leaves these games where you're just like, that was not a game. There was most players had no agency or ability to, or felt like they were ever had a chance to win the game because they just got their commander out super, super early, and then that was just kind of the way the game went. Nobody was able to stop it, and they just won.
Yeah, it does feel like this is going to lead to a lot of situations where the speed is significantly altered, and the play patterns that we're used to, which is like first two turns, establish, get building. Oh, everyone's trying to ramp with some signets or whatever. Jeweled Lotus kind of just blows past all that. It's like putting an F1 car in a NASCAR race.
And I think it's not that it always does that, right? There's some games where like it gets stopped or it doesn't get drawn until later. It's just that that does happen sometimes. There's a certain amount of games now, and whatever the percentage is, even if it's 5 or 6% of games where somebody draws this in their opening hand.
Well, even if it makes them arch enemy from turn one, that's not fun either.
That's a really warped game where somebody, yeah, exactly. It's just, again, I just keep asking this question, which is like, there's a pretty big downside to it. In that it creates high variance and creates games where they just feel like non-games. That could be fine. That's a cost of what's the upside? What's the awesome thing that it's doing? And I really just can't find awesome things that it's doing.
No.
Allowing you to recast your commander later when you maybe couldn't is okay, but it's not like...
They could have restructured Jeweled Lotus to say zero mana. You can only spend this mana to cast your commander if it's the second time or third time you've cast from command zone, right? There's other ways to be around it. But right now, this is just Black Lotus power level for commanders.
So here's a question. Do you think it's bannable?
I mean, I think anything is bannable, right? Because you can just say it's banned.
right. I mean, do you think it should be banned?
Ah, jeez. I don't know. I haven't seen it enough in the wild. Maybe it doesn't have the effect. Maybe it's only CEDH that really goes nuts over this card, and players just sort of like, nah, we don't want it. And it's a mythic rare, right, in the set, so it's going to be a harder card to get. So I think as long as not... I mean, like, if every single person started running Jeweled Lotus, I might find myself a little upset, because I do say that Mana Crypt is one of the cards that I could see being banned, and it's a zero mana artifact that gives you a bunch of mana.
I don't think this is probably ultimately as powerful as Sol Ring or Mana Crypt, and I don't...
No,
think...
because you're gaining, right? Sol Ring on turn one gives you, what, 12, 20 mana?
You use it over and over again, yeah. And this is pretty bad later in the game. I don't think the average power level of this card is... incredible enough for it to be banned. I don't think I'm in favor of banning it. You know, I dislike the card. I don't like the design of the card. I don't think it does anything good for the format, but it's not based on the power level specifically of the card.
Yeah.
Because the average is out, and it's actually, I think, lower power level than some of these other things. The problem is, I think, twofold. One is what I said about it doesn't add anything good to the format, really. The two is like you said, Mana Crypt, Sol Ring. These are cards that are tolerated, right? These are cards that are only really okay because there aren't very many cards like that. So your frequency of drawing those cards early in the game is low. So it happens sometimes, but every one of those that they create, that's more of those. Like, we don't want 8 of those cards to
exist.
Because
your deck also looks a little bit more simple. It's just, yeah, you're running that, and that if you want the fully optimized version.
Now everybody's getting one of those every single game, right? So there's this thing where, like, we don't really need more fast mana. I don't think we want more fast mana. Let's reprint the fast mana we already have, but I don't think we want to create more, because we're a singleton format. If you create cards that are redundancy for effects, we're going to run all of them. And now we're starting to look like we have four of this effect and eight of this effect and 12 of this effect.
If you're essentially like, yeah, you can play four Soarings, but you can play four cards that are basically the same thing at a certain point, then you, that's it. You're not a singleton format really anymore.
And I think Jeweled Lotus is actually more powerful as a one-off thing that it does before turn three than Sol Ring or Mana Crypt, right? You can't get Yauruk out with just Mana Crypt on turn two.
Right.
You can't get... Sol Ring can't do that. Now, their average power over the course of the game starts to tend towards more powerful because after you use Sol Ring three times, it's giving you six mana, whereas Jeweled Lotus only gave you three. But that's that variance thing I'm talking about, where when it's good, it's incredibly good. Right now, you better have an answer or this might be a non-game.
Yeah. The game is heavily, like, right, it like immediately swings a favor in another direction. It's kind of like when Craig or Cassius has one of those amazing turns where you're just like, how are we supposed to stop that?
Yeah.
It's like, well, they had to draw four mana rocks that specifically comboed off to give them that mana, but in this case, like Jeweled Lotus, one card oftentimes in the right deck is just going to start spelling GG.
And those moments can be fun, but it's because they don't happen very often. You don't want that to happen every single game, right? That's just not, I don't think, what most Commander players are signing up for, because it pushes out a ton of cards. You know, we did that episode, what was it called?
Cards that just aren't as good anymore.
Yeah, and a lot of people got upset at us because we were, they thought we were like telling them like play these cards and don't play these other cards. That's not what we were saying at all. We're not making value judgments on it. We're saying this is what we see happening to the format and this is how we're responding. I would prefer that that wasn't happening to the format and we weren't forced to respond to that way. Like, I don't want Commander to be the format where I feel like I have to play a bunch of cheap removal spells and instants. Like, I want Commander to be the format where we play the bigger, you know, high CMC stuff and really slug it out with these cards that really don't get to see play anywhere else. Unfortunately, they designed a bunch of cards that kind of push us in the direction of like more efficient decks. And I also want to be competitive in games and feel like I can win them. So you have to strike this balance. And so we can talk about Rule Zero and these conversations that we can have before games, but what are we supposed to like realistically do? Like sit down and be like, okay, what about this card? How about this card? Is this card okay?
Yeah.
What about that card? How, like the conversation just can't be that long every single time. So yeah, that's my biggest issue with this thing, because I don't think this one card is really going to alter the format. And the people are saying, hey, it's not a huge deal, are right in that this card right now is not going to end the format. It's not the hugest of deals. I think what is the big deal and what is worrying, and what I want to say to Gavin and all our friends over there at Magic, is cards like this push us towards the edge of that cliff.
Yeah, we're already into the full-on 2 CMC ramp is the way to go, right? With Arcane Signet, which I believe they've admitted was not the right thing to do.
Yeah, Gavin admitted it was a
mistake. So let's not keep going that direction. Like, let's make more impactful 3, 4, 5 stuff that lets people enjoy the game and let it breathe a little longer without making it into the 2-hour extravaganza games that no one, or at least I,
we already don't have that problem now. I think, like,
yeah, we're past that.
We fixed that problem. So we don't need to speed up games in this way. We don't need the early turns to be turns where players are winning. We don't want this to be like a, hey, most decks are winning on turn 3 or 4 now. We don't want that for our format.
Yeah. And Jeweled Lotus, not CEDH.
Jeweled Lotus pushes us towards that. And I would just say, like, please think about it and please stop designing cards that push us towards the edge of that cliff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's just not move any closer to the cliff. We're close enough now. We can see over it. It's a nice view. We're good.
And cards like Jeweled Lotus make me not like the game as much because, like you said, it leads to games where I go, all right, cool.
Yeah, that game just wasn't super fun and it just didn't feel like I really had any chance.
This is not the one I'm going to tell people about tomorrow.
Yeah.
Right? Unless I'm complaining about it.
Yeah. So that's my worry, really, is that this card sort of signifies a design philosophy that I don't like. Like,
Yeah.
I just hope we don't see a lot more cards like this.
We can start pulling the car around so we're not just driving straight that direction.
Let's just stop moving towards the cliff. Let's just not do this anymore. All right. Big thanks to our editing, graphics, and logistics team, Ashlyn Rose, Craig Blanchett, Lady Danger, Manson Lung, Justin Masseth, Jake Boss, Josh Murphy, Alfred Estaca, Patrick Nunn, and Sam Waldo.
And big thanks to Jeffrey Palmer for the living card animations that start our show on youtube.com/TheCommandZonePodcast and occasionally live behind us here on set. You can find Jeffrey at LivingCardsMTG on Twitter.
All right, everybody. We'll be seeing a lot more of you very, very soon. We got a lot more Commander Legends to talk about.
So much more.
Yeah.
And much less busted.
All right. Peace.
Bye.
For further inquiries, send an email to commandcast@rocketjump.com or ask us on Twitter @JFWong and @JoshLeeKwai. See you later, alligator. Great.
Greetings, humans.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.